Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the KFM Public Affairs Show with Rick Castellini and Adam Cochran. That's me. And my daughter, Beth Cochran, is with us today. Yeah. We've got all kinds of fun stuff going
special
on.
Special guest.
So that's Beth it. Cochran. Special guest. Yeah. We kind of came into that cold. Usually I tried to ease out of the music. Didn't realize that was...
Yeah, that was a little abrupt. Already, a little abrupt.
That's okay.
That's okay. We're waking people up at noon today. It's Boom. Noontime Public Affairs, KFM 88.1. FM, and you can call us 241-8801 extension 1. We need you to practice calling that number anyway, because coming up this weekend, starting on Saturday, is the KFM fundraiser. So put that phone number down and call it all week next week. You can call now for that matter, or go to kfmradio.org and donate now and get the pre-sales up for the fundraiser. But we are here for the next hour, Adam and I, to answer your questions, anything technical, computer-related, phone-related. We've answered a lot of phone questions in the past.
A lot of cell phone stuff lately.
Especially smartphones. We're the smartphone guys. And you can call us, 241-8801, extension 1. We had a great month last month. A lot of good callers last month. We're counting on that again this month to keep us rolling. And if you're on Twitter, want to see how big social networking really is in the KAFM world, and you can Twitter us questions at Help Me Rick is mine, or at Talking Digital is Adam's. And we're monitoring both Twitter accounts right now. So if you have a question, you can Twitter it to us via that method. Right?
Right.
So yeah, Beth is agreeing with Beth's kind of producing today. All right. So
she's
we're
the right yes person. Or
the yes man.
That's right.
The yes woman.
Question.
All right, we are underway. We were talking about right before the show, there isn't a lot of huge news right now. It's kind of quiet now.
You know, there is news, but the problem is it's geek news. There's all kinds of geek news going on. It's
very geeky.
There's some very cool news going on, but it's kind of geek stuff. So we can either talk about geek news and why it's important to everyone else, or we can just talk about computers.
Well, the big thing is, though, is coming up. Is it already happened? Is the PMI already happened? The camera thing?
No, I don't think so.
It's coming up?
PMA. Yeah.
PMA. Any camera buzz going on out there about what's coming out in digital cameras?
I think digital cameras are... The problem is we're kind of flatlining. Not in a bad way. But the thing is, once you have a 1080p video, your camera does 1080p video. Your camera has 12 megapixels.
Right.
Your camera has a 12x zoom. Once you get to that point, you're really, unless you go into the high-end cameras, you're really not, it's apples to apples on all of those things. They're just so similar now. There's still some camera companies that are better than others. There's always going to be the contest between Nikon and Canon and all of that. But now even the big players like Samsung, the ones we haven't
talked about. Kind of like where computers were about 5 years
ago. Exactly. It's very, very standardized, I think. Let's go to a caller. Hi there. You're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. Do you have a tech question for us?
Yes, I do.
Good deal. What can we do for you?
Okay. Matter of fact, I have a couple, but let me shoot this one at you.
Okay.
What's your first name first, by the way?
I'm sorry?
What's your name?
Oh, Joe.
Oh, hi, Joe. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. I have a Comcast cable coming into the house, and from that, I... split the cable with a D-Link, and that brings my internet signal into a Linksys modem, which is where I have VoIP set up.
Okay.
And then, not to be too complicated, but from the Linksys, it goes to a Netgear router, and that dispenses the signal to my PCs. The other day, my VoIP went down, and I thought it might be the internet signal coming in to from Comcast. I picked that up, and I was standing on my head trying to determine if I'd lost the internet signal, and I was rewiring my...
Well, now, when you tested your internet signal, did you go just try to open up a browser on one of your computers?
Well, I guess
That's the simple way to do it.
I accidentally did that.
Before you rewire, it's always important to test the simple things.
Right, right. And I did find I had a signal bypassing everything else. And then my next thought was, oh, gee, it's the Linksys. But as it turned out, it was the VoIP. They had a network downtime outage.
Okay.
Here's my question.
Yeah. Where's the question?
What's that?
I said, where's the question? Go ahead.
What is the question? Is there something I can hook up so I don't have to be under my computer table plugging and unplugging? Something I can look to say, oh, gee, I have a signal or I don't have a signal. Is Comcast delivering a signal or not?
On your modem. You said your cable modem is a Linksys modem. Is that what you said?
It actually is a D-Link.
The modem is a D-Link?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
On that D-Link router, there should be a little link light that flashes or some little light that flashes that tells you you're getting an internet signal. Once you know you're getting an internet signal, then you just go into a browser and log on. Now, there are times where you'll get a signal, but there won't be any internet there. But rule number one is assume that it's not your fault.
Always.
If everything was working fine yesterday and then it stopped working today, give it 24 hours before you panic.
And you didn't do anything different.
Yeah, if you haven't changed anything.
Nothing.
Yeah, if you haven't changed anything and suddenly it stops working, 99.9% of the time it is on the it's on the provider's end. And even if you call the provider and say, I'm not getting any internet, is it out in my area? Chances are they're going to say, well, we don't show anything here. Because they, you know, the way that the word gets to them is they get a whole bunch of calls that the internet's down. And if they've only had a handful of calls, they just don't even log it. So, you know, you just have to give it some time. And usually everything comes back up. If you want to do something simple, just unplug your cable modem. The power from your cable modem. Make sure there's no power coming to it. And then give it a few minutes and then plug it back in. If things still aren't coming back on, just wait it out. Don't unplug anything until it's been 24 hours.
Because too often people will, if something goes down, email or their internet browsing, they start messing with cables, they start messing with settings, or they call tech support, and tech support helps you mess with your settings and helps you mess with your cables. And then when the problem does get resolved on the other folks' end, you really do have a problem. So the best thing to do is sit tight, check it every couple hours, but I think Adam's right on with the 24 hours. I mean, that seems like a long time in today's world, but you're going to find that the problem actually will rectify itself probably within a couple hours. But if in the meantime, if you're messing around with a lot of different things, you are going to create a problem that you didn't have to begin with.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
So, yep.
Good advice.
Yeah, this is also one of those areas where Twitter comes in handy, because if you can get into Twitter, if you know how to use Twitter, just go to search.twitter.com and search for Comcast, and you'll know right away that it's a Comcast problem, because all the Comcast users will be complaining. And now it could just be an area problem.
Well, in his case,
it's just happening in your neighborhood.
Well, in his case, it was his voice over IP provider.
Right.
He was having the internet, but his voice over IP. Because your voice over IP is different from Comcast, right?
It is, yes. Yes, it's a separate.
Yeah, so it could have been. Yeah, so it'd be them. So you'd type in whoever it is.
Yeah, Vonage
or whoever the company is, and look, search Twitter. That's always the first thing I do now when I notice that my internet's down or
electricity's off,
having weird problems, is I just search for the name of the company and see if other people are complaining. Even if I only get three or four people, that still tells me the problem's not just on my end.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Got time for one more quick one?
I think so. Go for it.
Okay. Since I send that signal to a Netgear router, and that I've heard that protects your PC better than anything else, is it advisable to get rid of my zone alarm? Because that's a software firewall.
I would say so, but it's up to – what do you think, Rick?
Well, I agree.
Take
consensus
here.
I'm very much – I like to keep as few utilities running as possible. And if you've got a firewall enabled in your router, which most of us do, the router there is usually more than significant enough for you to keep safe. Some people like running both. I mean, just your own preference. But if you think that the zone alarm has given you any kind of a – performance hit on your computer, then I would take it off.
Yeah.
If you don't think it's giving you a huge performance hit, it's not going to hurt to leave.
No, we also can't take that as a blanket statement either. If you do things like, you know, if you're downloading movies through BitTorrent or going to game cheat websites, or, you know, the more shady the activity that you're doing with the computer, the more the firewall is going to help you, because you never know what kind of bug you might put on your computer that might, you know, need that firewall might block. But if you're just doing your day-to-day surfing, checking email, doing Facebook, going to Google, you know, all that stuff.
Even banking and shopping.
Banking and shopping. I don't think you need the software firewall.
Okay, good deal.
Okay.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
All right,
no problem.
Should also mention that all operating systems have a built-in software firewall as well.
Yeah.
So if you disable a commercial firewall like Zone Alarm or Norton, your Windows, or if you have a Mac firewall, things like that will kick in, or you can enable them so that you do have at least another small layer of security there.
Yeah.
And we did get a phone call in between there. And folks, we can't put people on hold. Unfortunately, we only have one line. So please be patient. If someone's on the line, just wait and then holler back at us. As soon as you hear us, click them off. And that phone number is 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. And you can Twitter us at Talking Digital is Adams, or mine is at Help Me Rick, and we can answer questions either way, phone or Twitter. So go ahead and hit us up.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'd say we were finishing up that phone. We were finishing up about cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I have noticed over the last year is that even the pocketable cameras, the zooms have gone up.
Right.
The optical zoom.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Because you never look at the digital.
Oh, yeah, you can get a 5X optical zoom now. In fact, Kodak's set for about 2 years now. Kodak has sold a 10 or 12X zoom for just over $200. Yeah,
but in a small
package. Panasonic's another one where you can get them in a very, very small package. And the thing is, if you're a professional, you know, photographer, and you're used to shooting with, you know, a high-end SLR with a big, you're going to notice that it's not as good a quality of an image. But, you know, I used to be that. I used to do all those things, and today I shoot with a point-and-shoot that has a 15X zoom or 20X zoom on it.
Which one are you carrying?
I use the SX.
Okay, so you have
20IS, the Canon with, I think it's 20 zoom lens on it.
Right.
Fantastic camera. It works really well, and it does.
Mine's in that same vicinity as yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, we got another call, Mr.
Yeah, we sure do. Hello, you're on Public Affairs. We're talking about technology with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Yes, I just recently bought a computer that had Vista, and my neighbor was telling me that she got a chance to upgrade to Windows 7.
Right.
But she didn't know how to do it or what to do.
How long ago?
Can you help me on that?
When did you buy that computer?
About a month and a half ago.
Hmm.
Is it a big computer or is it a small laptop? What kind of computer is it?
It's a tower.
It is a tower.
It is a tower. And where did you buy it from?
It was from OneSale.
Oh, okay. Online. Oh, okay. Probably you won't have a free upgrade on that. If you bought through a Best Buy or a
Office Depot
or something like that, or Dell Direct or HP Direct, then you would have had a free upgrade, because actually they started putting Windows 7 standard on all machines back in late October.
Yeah.
Right. So anything you've bought since then should have Windows 7. So probably what you bought was just either some kind of a surplus computer, or possibly a refurbished computer, and those won't qualify for a free Windows 7 upgrade.
Okay. Because I'm having trouble with hardware that I use in XP, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so there's no remedy for that on Vista.
Well, it depends on what the hardware is. Are you having printer problems, scanner, what kind of problem?
Well, it's a 3-in-1, scanner, printer, copier.
Mm-hmm. HP,
PSC 1315.
I'll bet what you can do is if you just go to support.hp.com. Have you been there yet?
No.
Okay, go to support.hp.com and type in the model number of your printer. And then that's going to bring you to the Hewlett-Packard support page for that printer. And then you're going to be able to select your operating system. And so you'll just select your Windows Vista, and then it'll have a download there for you for the proper drivers and all the software needed to run that little combination printer, scanner, copier.
All right. Awesome.
Okay.
Great. I'll try that and see what happens. Thank you so much. You guys are always great.
We appreciate it. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 241-8801 extension 1. That's how that works. You can just call us up and we will get you on there and answer your phone calls. But yeah, if you have Vista, and Windows 7 is not necessarily going to rectify that. It does better, I think, than Vista
right.
at finding mm-hmm. finding the hardware drivers and identifying and downloading without you having to do it.
Right.
But it's still not 100%.
Right.
So
right. Cool.
Remember to go to your support site. So 241-8801, extension 1. Back to the camera, just real quickly,
yes.
I wanted to wrap up on that was, again, when we talk about buying cameras,
uh-huh.
always look for the optical zoom.
The optical zoom.
If your zoom
yep.
is important to you. And we were just talking about the small size. I mean, I'm amazed at the types of cameras that
yeah.
are out there now and
yeah.
the prices.
Well,
you were talking about SLR. Didn't I see, Adam, the Canon, the Rebel SLR?
Uh-huh.
Isn't it like around $500
yep.
now?
Yeah, with the lens. Yeah.
That is crazy.
And it takes beautiful pictures. It's an excellent camera. You know, I think it's interesting. I think that point-and-shoot cameras are actually the ones that are struggling right now
mm-hmm.
because, you know, people who really enjoy their hobby mm-hmm. are buying the cheap SLRs.
Are they really?
People who don't, you know, people who just want to have a camera on them at all times are buying camera phones. And
right.
the camera phones are becoming, you know, the quality on a camera phone now, a 3-megapixel or 5-megapixel camera phone
right.
is equal to what the point and shoots were at, you know, probably 4 or 5 years ago. But
right.
still, you get an image, you get good color. The video quality, I've been blown away at the video quality from the iPhone and from the, like the Palm Pre and the mm-hmm. Android phones. The video quality is incredible. I mean, so it's just one of those things where I think that the struggling market right now is the 3x zoom cameras with the, you know, 5 or 10 megapixel.
Because if you already have a camera phone.
If you got a camera phone with you and you can make a little print if you need to, there's really not that need for, you know, a point and shoot that does quality, because that means it's one more thing for you to carry. So I think it's just kind of interesting where that's headed.
Well, and I think that people are realizing more and more that what you and I have been espousing for years is that if you combine your devices.
Right.
The more you can combine your devices, it makes it a lot easier to travel, and in a lot of cases, makes the technology more accessible because they do simplify it when it's in a combination device.
Yeah, absolutely. We were up at Arches this week, and I shot a few videos and just uploaded them directly to YouTube once we had a cell phone signal, and it's just very cool. You know,
very
just
neat.
Have that, and I think the video feature is becoming as important as the camera feature.
Because it's getting easy to use.
Because it's getting very easy to use.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's
you can even
really cool.
edit a little bit on the camera or on the phone and stuff like that. So, yeah.
It's crazy, crazy.
Absolutely.
241-8801, extension 1, is the phone number here at KFM.
You know, there was one
listening
piece
to Rick and Adam here.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. There was one piece of news I saw last night come through, and I don't see it anywhere right now, which I think is kind of interesting.
What was it?
That Facebook, oh, there it is. It is still on whose website? It's on somebody's website right now. That last week, the March 13th report that they do, or the report that they do weekly on tracking internet hits, Facebook finally surpassed Google. Did you see
I
that?
Saw that. I did see
surpassed
that.
Surpassed Google not by much. We're talking 7.07% versus 7.03%. But it still tells you, now that I sit down at my computer a lot and I'm doing things, it's tough to tell which page I go to first. I think there's a pretty much
I don't use
tie
Facebook at all anymore.
You don't go to Facebook at all?
I got tired of it.
I understand.
I realized to me, I was connecting with people that I didn't connect with before.
Right.
I didn't care about them before.
That's a good point.
Why do I care about them now?
That's interesting. You know? Yeah, sure.
So,
well,
I stopped using it.
One of the guys who I do some other stuff with was talking about social media and what a pain it is to try to maintain every individual
right.
Aspect. But yeah, I think for me, it's really the only way that I talk to my sister who lives, mm-hmm. my two sisters who live in Denver and all of that. I'm not going to email them and I'm not going to phone call them because there's no reason to do that. But I still keep track of them on Facebook. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. It was weird for me getting into it. And then I did for a little while.
Yeah. Well, you were never really that big into it. You've always been more of a Twitter guy anyway. So.
Well, I was, I don't know. I'm more of email, I guess.
I'm old school.
Yeah. How can you be old school in new technology? But
well,
I guess
depends.
I am.
No, I think so. I think it has to do with how you like to communicate.
Right.
If you like to communicate broadly to a lot of people,
right.
or whether
Facebook's
you like to
you.
Do one-on-one,
right.
or one-to-many in the case of Twitter. So let's go back to the phones. Hello, you're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam, and we're talking about technology. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm retired, and I can't believe the way technology is. I listen to you on my computer.
Oh, great.
Great.
Where are you listening from?
I heard you mention Zone Alarm.
Yeah.
Which I used to use, and I had some problems. I haven't used in a long time. I've been using the thing that comes with XP in Windows.
Right.
And I turned it off a few days ago for some reason. And I don't know where to go to turn it back on. Where do I find it?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, we can direct you to that. You said Windows XP, right?
Right.
All you have to do is go to Start and then your Control Panel.
Yeah.
And then in your Control Panel, you can go one of two ways. You can either go to the Windows Security Center, or you'll even just see the Windows Firewall listed. Okay. Either one. And then when you get in there, you just click the button that says Enable.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
All right. Where are you listening from?
I stumbled upon the web that shows all your letters and things.
Oh, good. Good.
I was that's how I found out about the program.
So where are you listening from?
Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond, Virginia. Very
great.
Cool.
We're glad to have
but
you listening.
It boggles my mind. You're on Mountain Time. I'm on Daylight Time over here.
Yeah.
I'm listening on the computer, talking to you on the phone.
I mean, I know.
Technology has advanced so much.
It is incredible. But, yeah, we post our shows up as podcasts after the show, so you can go back and listen to previous shows. And all that's at helpmerick.com.
But I've been on the net for about, with my private computer, for close to, I guess, 10 years.
Uh-huh.
By reading things and so on, I've kept up with most things. But
good.
I love your internet programs that are on there.
Beautiful.
They're very helpful. And I especially like what you said about getting people tied into Linux, because a lot of people just want to turn the computer on and, like their automobile, just have it run, not know how.
That's true.
And Linux is the easy way for them to do that.
Well, we appreciate it. We're glad you're listening out there, and hopefully you can get some more Virginianites out there to listen.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
That's how it works. Very cool.
That
stumbled on us
cool.
on the web, so you can tune us in at helpmerick.com or kfmradio.org, and they do stream the show live. They stream the whole radio station live. So if you're not in Grand Junction and you can't tune in to 88.1 FM, you can tune in via the web and hear us just the same.
I imagine you can do it through a lot of the internet radio applications, too, for the
That's
iPhone and things like that. I haven't looked, but I bet you can't.
Remember John used to tell us there's a public radio app for the iPhone that you can get, and I'm sure there's by now I'm sure it's available for the Android.
Sure.
So I might as well give out the area code too, because we do have some people listening from out of state. 970-241-8801 is the full phone number, extension 1. Make sure you put the extension 1 in there to get in here to the studio with Adam and I and Beth. What are you doing over here?
I'm watching a video.
Oh, she's watching a video on her iPod Touch.
Yes.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm watching it on the Desire.
Now, Beth's waiting. She's desperate for March to come because her cell phone contract ends, and she's been saving money forever.
What are you hoping to get?
I don't know. Either the Moment or the Hero.
So one of the Droid phones.
Uh-huh.
Very cool.
I like the Droid phones. I lost my phone, so I'll have to buy a new one.
You better hold on to the Droid phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tether it to your neck.
She doesn't lose her stuff very often. She keeps track of it better than anybody else. I think it was just a fluke thing that she lost her phone.
Fell out of your pocket.
Yeah, probably. Something must have happened there. But she's doing all right with it.
But speaking of the Droid phone, a lot of people probably saw some of those commercials pre-Christmas,
like
Droid from Verizon. And,
right.
And we talked about it a little bit on the show in the past, but that's the Android operating system from Google.
Right.
And it's making some pretty good headway.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you
say? Absolutely. Well, you know, the next week, Sprint is supposed to announce their first 4G phone that runs on WiMAX.
Okay.
And the
only in selected cities.
That's going to be an Android. Yeah, but it's spreading fast. I think that there's a lot of switches that just haven't been turned on yet that they're
the network's building.
They're going to roll it out all at once, I think, is what's going to happen. And that seems to be the case. And I heard them talking about it locally here that it's probably coming before the end of the year. I don't know for sure, but you never know with Sprint.
Cool.
The Droid phone definitely is catching up to the iPhone because there's so many devices that are running it now.
Right.
You have the Droid Aris, the Samsung Moment, and the Hero, and the
multiple platforms.
HTC makes tons of them. Yeah, and the new Google phone now hit AT&T this week too. So,
right. So
there's a lot of stuff going on. Hello, you're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Hi, I have a quick question.
Sure.
I use only Google for Gmail to connect with friends.
Uh-huh.
I want to know, in your opinion, how safe is the Google Buzz, and should it be deleted?
Well, the Google Buzz is kind of Google's answer to kind of a cross, in a way, I guess, of Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter, right.
Now, there is They enabled it. Just they didn't think it was going to make as big of a splash and as much of a noise as it did when they first enabled it for Gmail users. They automatically invited anybody who was in your address book, and it became kind of a overwhelming thing for a lot of folks. Personally, again, I'm not a huge social networking person, so I disabled Buzz altogether. I tried it for a few days, and I said, why do I need to monitor yet another area of noise? So I disabled it, and you can disable Buzz by clicking in the upper right-hand corner where you click on Account Info. And if you click on Account Info, you can navigate through there into Buzz and disable it. But as far as safety goes, it's like anything out there. As long as you are controlling who sees your information and how you share your information, it's going to be very safe. But if you're willy-nilly sharing information with just anyone, then it can be a little bit more of a problem privacy-wise. But in general, I would say safety-wise is up to you as the user, but it's built to be a secure service.
Yeah, and it really, the thing is it's how you use it.
Are you using Buzz?
I have it, and I look at it. I read a few people's things on Buzz, mm-hmm. but I don't actively use it the way I do Twitter.
It's kind of like Wave to me.
Yeah, Buzz, the thing is, you have to know how to use it and what it's for. Assume that anything you put on Buzz is public for everybody.
Right. Social network.
So you don't want to post, you don't want to sit down and talk to a friend over about something private through Buzz. You want to do that through email. But if you want to put out there and say, hey, has anyone tried the new such and such?
New Mexican restaurant on 8th.
Yeah, then you might get, you know, then it's nice because you can have kind of a collaborative thing with people who you may or may know or may not know. But that's what Buzz is for. It's made to collaborate with groups, not, you know, not private messages between two people.
Thank you. I would be more comfortable by disabling it. So
yeah, that sounds right.
I appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. Have a good day. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 970-241-8801. I haven't had any Twitter questions. You've had a Twitter question?
I haven't had any Twitter questions. No, nothing's come through. You know, I would say with Buzz, for business and things like that, with what I'm interested in, with all the tech topics and stuff, I have found that I'm able to have a direct correspondence with people who normally wouldn't correspond with me at all with Twitter and Facebook. Leo Laporte and Kevin Rose and those guys do a lot more conversations and active, you know,
in Buzz.
Yeah, in Buzz than they do anywhere else, which is kind of interesting.
Whoop.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Did we lose
you?
Hi. Yeah, you are.
I have a very basic question.
Cool.
Great.
I have AVG 8.5.
Okay.
Okay.
The free service.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But I've been getting a lot of pop-ups lately for AVG 9.0.
Right. Yep.
But when I scroll through that, it's
hard to find.
Using it's like
it's hard to find the free version.
An update that will cost you money, but they'll
right.
give it to you free for a little while.
Well, here's what you do. You go to make it easy for a good question like that. You go to helpmerick.com. And that's my website, helpmerick.com. In the upper right-hand corner, there's a search box. It says search HMR, Help Me Rick.
Okay.
And you're going to type in AVG9.
Okay.
Put a space between the AVG and the 9. And you're going to get a step-by-step process and a video showing you those steps on how to upgrade to the real free version of AVG9. Because it still is free, and we do need to upgrade. They came out with AVG9 way back in October, and they kind of started warning us about it way back then. A lot of people kept putting it off, but now they're really trying to finish it off and get people over to the new version. So you need to do it, but it is still free, but you got to follow those steps.
So help me,
Rick.
Rick.com. Okay, yeah, because it basically extremely confusing.
Well, they're trying to sell you
it at home.
Well, they're trying to sell you the product, and they're trying to convert as many people from free users to pay users. So that's what they're doing. There is a way if you follow really carefully, but they make it pretty convoluted for you to get to the free.
I've been through that convoluted process, and I finally get frustrated and just exit.
Well, that's why helpmerick.com is out there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Good question.
Bye.
Oh, I cut her off.
Cut her off. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. 241-8801, extension 1.
Two names in the news that we haven't talked about in a long, 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 long time.
Real quickly, just to finish up Buzz.
Go for it.
Because we were kind of finishing that up.
Sure.
So it's interesting that you're Did you feel like there's more conversation with some of the bigger tech guys?
You can get involved because they participate in the conversations. And since it's threaded, there's an old service that people don't use very much anymore called FriendFeed that was kind of that same sort of thing. And it's still there.
Right.
But it was made so that when you posted something, any replies came into a thread instead of having to search for the replies and stuff.
Kind of like a bulletin board system.
Yeah, like a bulletin board system, but it's very live and real time.
Well, the interesting thing, I was listening to a podcast the other day from South by Southwest, in fact, about they had the Google Gmail team there doing some kind of a forum kind of a deal.
Sure.
And a round table. And one of the things they got, one of the questions they got was about Buzz. And they said that Google kind of underestimated inserting a public kind of a social networking item into a private
email
system.
Right.
And that's where I think
those two things don't blend.
They don't blend well. Yep. And I think for a lot of people, Gmail is very private. I mean, Google is, or any email system is very private.
Right.
And when all of a sudden you throw in this public system that's kind of integrated, you start wondering, hey,
it would have worked a lot better, especially for early adopters, if they would have made it a plug-in for
the Google Talk
for Wave, a plug-in for Wave, or made it a plug-in for their existing iGoogle service, something like that. But I think bringing it into Gmail did confuse a lot of people. So yeah, if you're confused by Buzz, if you're a Gmail user, you can ignore it. You can disable it. The one thing you need to know about disabling it that probably doesn't affect most people is if you disable Google Buzz, it deletes your Google profile. And a Google profile is kind of a little page that you set up for yourself.
My profile is still there.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then maybe they changed it back because for a while it did delete the profile. So.
Yeah. No, I think the profile is okay. I believe. Good. I believe it still is. All right. Two people in the news, you said.
Yeah. Two names in the news. One of them is Commodore.
Tiger Woods.
Well, Tiger Woods is there too.
All right. We're not talking about
Tiger.
He's
coming back. Commodore. Commodore is back. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
A computer company that manufactured a computer in a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Way back.
Well,
80s.
Yeah, but that was it. The whole computer used to be in the keyboard. You hook your TV up to it.
I remember.
All your controllers. Well, another company has started to create a computer in a keyboard concept for computers where everything connects to the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they've licensed the Commodore name, the logo, everything.
Wow.
So Commodore is back, and it's still, they pretend to be the same company, but they're not. But it is kind of interesting because it does look a little bit like the old Commodore, and it's kind of cool to see that come back.
That's funny.
So yeah, if you're a Commodore 64 user, it's kind of, I think it would be kind of neat if they put a little, as a default, put a Commodore emulator on there just so
some
you can
kind of game
go away. But the other name that's in the news is AOL. Have you been seeing AOL pop up a lot?
I haven't.
AOL is starting to buy journalism sites, news sites, or create news sites. They want to become an internet journalism authority, and so they're actually starting up hundreds of local news sites using both local and national reporters to hunt down the local news that's going on and actually create local news. And they're big name reporters. A lot of them are, you know, just out of journalism school or a few years out of journalism school, but they've worked for places like Time Magazine and for, you know, these big entities. So
we're going to get some noise over there.
She's still up. One, I don't know which one she is.
She is two.
You need to pull it down?
She's two, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Right. Well, we're good. Okay.
All right.
But
getting a lot of clucking and clucking.
There you go. That's all right. That's interesting. They also just bought a food
site. So they're probably trying to localize
and they're trying to rebuild their name as a journalism source instead of a internet media source. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I expect them to attempt a few things this year.
There is something I'm not sure people are aware of about you, that you started with your class here at town at Mesa State.
Uh-huh.
And it's called GJ Mole,
right,
which is a local, I mean, it's turning into a great little site for,
I think it's
local
coming
together,
news
gathering. So tell us about what GJ Mole is.
When the class that I'm teaching is a web content development class.
Okay.
And in the past,
the title of it?
Yeah. Web content production, I think is what it's called. And the previous professors who've taught that class taught it as a web design class, how to build stuff. And in journalism, I don't think you need to know how to design websites. It's handy, but it's not necessary.
Right.
What they need to know how to do is design the content, how to do videos and upload pictures and what a podcast is and a video cast and, you know, all those things that are happening, an RSS stream and, you know, things that that you get into in journalism.
Right. Well, and web and design, for the most part, is pretty plug and play these days.
Right.
Almost anybody
exactly.
can do it.
Once you get in, so we basically, I put a little WordPress site together, and I didn't do anything really with it. To tell you the truth, I did very, very little with it. First day of class, I went in and I just said, okay, guys, we're going to create an online newspaper to compete with local newspapers. Mm-hmm. Compete using that loosely because we hope that they get along with us.
Right.
But that is equal to or covers the news. And we want to do it from the ground up as an internet news source, not mm-hmm. as a ripoff of a newspaper or a copy of a newspaper or anything like that. We want to create what we think the internet news will be like. You know, where it's headed.
As it develops, yeah.
Exactly. And don't try to copy anything else that's already existing. Let's try some new ideas. And so we created it. They named it. They came up with the name G.J. Mole, as in little animal that's underground. G.J. Mole, they've slowly just evolved into having kind of a nice little layout to it. Mm-hmm. And the kids are learning as they go along. You're going to look at it.
So they're doing all the design work.
They're doing everything. It is rough at times, and I help guide them through things, but I'm not telling them this is how things have to be. They're coming up with their own style. We've had decisions come up, and this is a kind of a good point of conversation with everybody who I've brought it up to, and that is, other than accuracy, you know, you have to have the story true,
right.
Absolutely correct. But in a media that can change things at any time, where does, you know, how much time should be spent on editing as far as making sure that the wordage makes sense and all that stuff? How much time should be spent on that before it actually gets published onto the web? And we've had a lot of discussions about that in class, because since you can correct...
So timeliness versus super
prettiness, right. I guess is the best word, or style. Mm-hmm. And so we've had a lot of conversations about that in class, and we tend to ebb and flow. I mean, at some points we say, okay, it's starting to get sloppy and people aren't even spell checking.
Right.
And then we start spending time on that, and we realize, you know, this story could be up a little bit sooner if we hadn't edited it two or three times or whatever. And so right. it is kind of this balance that's interesting with internet journalism. It's a topic that I didn't even think to talk about, that's just kind of come up as a result.
Now, do you have an editing board?
We do. We have, well, everybody, it started out as we had editors and writers and everything.
Okay.
Now I've given everybody permission to pretty much do their own editing, but the rule is whenever you post a story, go in and edit somebody else's story and make sure it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so they now, you know, I tell them to proofread and everything, make sure it looks good. But as it gets sloppy, then I start putting checks and balances in there. And as it starts slowing down, I start taking away the checks and balances a little bit so that it doesn't slow the publishing down. So Beth's getting bored.
You better shut her mic off.
There we go. But is she two?
She's two.
Okay.
Poor Beth's bored over here. But no, G.J. Mole from, again, Adam's teaching this class at Mesa State. And they have a Twitter. What's the Twitter? Just at
G.J.
Mole.
It's G.J. Mole is the Twitter, and Facebook. You can find it if you just search for gjmole.com.
Now, is it going to be a site that you're going to keep up for future classes?
We haven't even decided. I imagine it will be, but we haven't really decided.
Is there a minimum number of stories that your students have to post?
Nope.
How are you doing that?
What it is at the end of the semester, mm-hmm. I have them print out. I know. Well, the reason I have them print it out is because I don't want them to just write down on a piece of paper, grade these stories.
Right.
I tell them to print them out so that I know tangibly which ones. So there's no confusion over which stories they want me to grade. But at the end of the semester, they have to turn in 10 stories for me to grade.
Okay.
So if they've only done 10 stories, then they're going to get graded on those. If they have lots of stories, then they can pick their 10 best.
Okay.
And they have to be, you know, no more than 2 stories from any category. So they can't be 10 sports stories or 10 photographs or something like that. They have to mix and manage them. So.
Well, it's pretty interesting for folks from Grand Junction. They can go onto the site, and they've done some really good job of reporting on some local issues, some good Mesa State stories. You know, I think because they're college students, they're kind of...
That is their world.
That's their world.
Yep.
But they had a couple weeks ago when the home show was going on here in town, they had a video on that.
Yep.
And so it was very cool.
Yeah,
they're
coming.
Good stuff.
It's really coming together. It's kind of...
So is there a G.J. Mole YouTube site, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay.
G.J. Mole, I guess.
I didn't even look to see if the link was to their own or they put it on
G.J. Mole YouTube. We created G.J. Mole, pretty much everything. You know, anywhere that we thought... Flickr, you know, we went just around and created those accounts all across the board. And
now, what kind of reception are you getting from the folks in the class? Are they enjoying it?
The kids love it in the class. Mm-hmm. Most people who read it enjoy it. You know, they're having fun with it. We're finding that that people who are, you know, whose background is news, newspapers especially, people on the newspapers don't like it very much. But that's okay. We, you know, they they talk about how we're shabby writers and our layout's not great and things like that. And that's, you know, that's kind of how it goes because we are, you know, how
but
much
you're not
time,
a writing class, you're a web content class.
Well, the other thing too, here's what's funny is with a newspaper or TV or anything, you have limited time or you have limited space.
Right.
And so you have to do very well with anything that you put into that space. And if you have too much content, you have to cut it. If you don't have enough content, you have to find filler. With the internet, you don't have to do that. I just encourage the students to tell the story.
Be as thorough as you can.
Be as thorough as you can. Make sure it's 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. But don't be wordy to fill space. And also don't over edit. If you don't try to make something too short. Take what you need to tell the story. And I encourage them to use photos and video as much as possible. And we're going to be getting into podcasts over the next couple of weeks, too. So
very cool.
It's a lot of fun, and it's interesting to see where it's headed, and new things are always happening with it.
So we kind of melded into that from talking about Google Buzz.
Yeah.
But again, we have about 15 more minutes. If you have questions about anything technology-related, give us a call, 241-8801, or you can tweet us at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital. And we'll answer those questions as we go along. I guess another trend that we're seeing with technology, we had the gentleman from Virginia talk about Linux. And I think people really underestimate what technology is and what it can do. And I was talking to a friend last night, in fact, about what we do, and that she had a printer that she wanted to try to troubleshoot and stuff. And I said, Adam used to kind of have a good analogy. He would ask people, do you know how to fix your transmission? Do you know how to fix the motor on your washing machine?
Right.
Do you know how to get the heater back up and running when a heater goes out in the winter?
Right.
And the answer to most of those questions is no.
Right.
You usually call in a specialist.
Yeah.
But in the computer world, for some reason, a lot of folks feel like it should be something we all should be able to do.
Without any training. I still don't understand why that's the case.
I don't either.
You're right.
Well, I guess the other thing we could throw in there is, can you take out your own gallbladder? Those kinds of things. It really is truly a specialty that if you don't know all the ins and outs, you could probably do it.
Yeah.
Just like I could probably fix a dishwasher if I watched enough YouTube videos and read enough manuals and went back and forth to Home Depot about 25 times, I might be able to do it.
Yeah.
But I could call in a specialist who could probably do it in an hour.
Yeah.
So at some point, you got to decide what is your specialty. And I think people don't realize that computers, I think, started out as a hobby. Mm-hmm. People that were first into it was a hobby. They understood them. They liked learning about them.
Yep.
But now it's just an appliance.
Right.
It's another device that they need to do that they don't want to use, but they don't necessarily want to know how it all works.
Right.
And that's where guys like you and I come in to help people answer questions.
Yeah.
So we're here for 10 more minutes to answer those questions.
I think what's funny is so many people think that we're holding out a secret on them. I haven't worked on computers now for several months, but I just remembered that so often that they would try to get me to give them the secret answer over the phone.
What's that secret sauce?
Really. I would say, well, I'm going to have to see the problem because I just can't fix. Okay, well, let me tell you a little bit more. And they'd go on and on and on, explain it further. Like I'm just going to say, push A.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the problem. But other than reboot it, there's really
that's what I was just going to say. The secret sauce that we talked about at the very top of the show with the gentleman at the internet, there's two secret sauces to solving a many computer problems. Number one is wait, and oftentimes they do correct themselves. But number two, the most common one, is shut your computer off.
Right.
Leave it off for a couple minutes, turn it back on. Don't just reboot it. I always tell people, shut it off. And in fact, if it's an internet problem, I tell them, shut it off, unplug the power to all your internet devices, plug it back in, and then start up. And those are the two secret sauces that will get you through a lot of stuff. And it's always starting with the basics and then work up. And if you're still having a problem, then you got to figure it out. But if you want a secret sauce in fixing computers, it's wait or reboot your computer, restart your computer. Those are two big ones. So those are trade secrets we'll give away right here, right now.
Absolutely.
But those are trade secrets we've given away for 12 years.
I don't think there are any trade secrets. So it's just...
But I did also mention, I think, another underestimated use of YouTube. A lot of people think, well, what is YouTube? And YouTube, for you folks out there, is Y-O-U. If you've not been to YouTube, don't go to U, the letter U. It's youtube.com. If you do your own hobby things or repairing things and you want to do it yourself, There are so many do-it-yourself videos on YouTube. If you want to learn how to change a tire, if you want to learn how to put in a new electrical outlet in your house, or you want to know how to change an electrical outlet in your house, all those things are available to you on YouTube, and not just one. You can watch multiple so you can get a good idea.
Especially with computer things. If we go into the computer side again, if you say, well, can I put a new hard drive in my computer? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you can. Watch the video on YouTube, and you'll probably... And the other thing, too, if you watch somebody do it on YouTube and it looks easy, go for it. If it looks too complicated, you know that it's time to call in an expert. But I had a student just last semester who'd shattered their computer screen on their Mac. And Macs aren't made to come apart. Macs are made for the Mac techs to work on them. But there are tricks. You can do it. And so I told her, I said, well, I won't do it for you, but if you go to YouTube and watch a video and it looks like something you can do, I'd encourage you to just order a new screen on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it. And I don't know whether she did it with help or whatever, but she said the YouTube video was the key. She figured out how to do it.
And she got her computer up and running again.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a woman who went to her house one day, and she had her kitchen. She had this sheet on her kitchen counter, and she had an old Dell laptop there. I swear, almost every part in that thing
She's
was laid out on the sheet.
Apart.
Oh, yeah. Because she had done this kind of the same thing. Yeah. She had to replace a screen. And to get to a screen and replace that is not a super simple chore.
No.
And so she sat there and undid everything.
Takes a lot of confidence.
And
but
she got it up and running.
Yeah.
So if you can do it yourself, you can do it. Well, but it does take some learning and some knowledge and some time.
Same thing goes with programs. You want to learn Flash? There's video tutorials on Flash or Photoshop or any of those programs. And I think that there's a lot of money spent on classes and training that could be solved if you're willing to do the work.
Right.
That's the thing. People buy a million computer books. And I've done the same thing. Buy computer books, and then I
leave
look
them
through
the
them at the beginning, and then I just leave them on the shelf because I realize I want either somebody to do it for me or I want somebody to show me how to do it.
Right.
And that's what YouTube is excellent for.
Well, and that's my favorite saying. I've had it on my wall for a long time is, because people say, oh, you're so smart. And I say, no, I'm not really that smart. I just know how to use my resources.
Right.
And one of the sayings, one of the little quotes I've got on my bulletin board is smart people became smart because they asked other smart people how to do things.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
That's right.
All right, well, we're wrapping up close to the end here. About 5 or 6 more minutes. If you do have a question, we have no Twitter. This is our first month in a long time we didn't get at least one Twitter question.
Yeah.
And our Twitter is at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital. And we can do things that way, or the phone. If you want to squeeze in one last phone call, 241-8801, extension 1.
Oh, one thing that's a Colorado thing. Mm-hmm. You saw this, that Amazon cut off all their Colorado affiliates.
I know. It made me mad.
Made me mad, too. It doesn't affect a lot of people, but it was kind of neat. If you had a website, you could sign up with Amazon, and you could put little advertisements on your website.
You would just start doing that,
too.
Yeah,
just started doing it. And if somebody bought something through your website, you know, went to Amazon through your website, they'd give you a pretty good cut. I mean, better than
small
what Google or somebody else gives you. And then they cut off all the Colorado people because... State tax. Colorado's taxing Amazon. Instead of taxing me, Colorado's taxing Amazon for offering that service that way. And
then for them to try to track all that would be just a nightmare.
It's just greed.
So
it's ridiculous.
It was easier for them to say, well, we'll just cut off Colorado.
Yep, and they're going to cut off Connecticut here, too, it sounds like.
I knew there was one more state. I couldn't remember which one.
Well, they've already cut off another one.
Virginia, was it?
Virginia, I think. Yeah. So one of those northern.
So Connecticut's a third one.
Yep. We've got one call here. We'll close out the show with this call. Hello, you're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Yes. If you want to drop back to a good date on your computer.
Using System Restore, you mean?
I'm sorry?
Using System Restore?
Either System Restore or I guess there's another way to do it.
System Restore is probably the best.
Data.
Sorry, to say it again?
The way that you don't lose any data. What's the best way to drop back a day? You know, like if you picked up some virus or something on your computer.
Well, be aware that it doesn't always work with viruses, because sometimes the way the virus works or spyware works, it gets into different system files and hides itself to even if you do a system restore, if it lets you, number one, a lot of them will disable that right off the bat. But even if it lets you do a system restore, the virus or the spyware will come back right away. So if you have that kind of a problem, that is not the fix. It's a possible way to start fixing it, but is not the fix. But really, the only safe way to do a system restore and to maintain your data, not erase any of your current data, is to use the Windows System Restore utility. And probably even the safest way to do that, if you're having problems with your computer, is boot up into safe mode. And when you go into safe mode in any version of Windows, by pushing F8, you got to turn the computer off, turn it on, start punching F8. When you get into safe mode, the first question it's going to ask you is, do you want to operate in safe mode or do you want to restore your computer to an earlier time? And then you can answer that question there and get started.
I see. Okay, got it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, good question. Thanks for calling. So I think with that, Adam,
Should
we start wrapping it up? Unless you have anything last moments, any last nuggets of wisdom?
Nope, I think those are all the nuggets I've got. Beth, do you have any nuggets of wisdom?
Do you have any nuggets of wisdom?
Don't know what that is.
Okay, there
we go.
That
means you have anything great to say that would be just
any tech stuff that's important?
Nope.
Okay, there you go.
I know. Her nugget of wisdom should be hold on to your cell phone.
That's right. Don't lose your cell phone.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everyone. This has been Rick Castellini and Adam Cochran. HelpMeRick.com is the website. You can follow Adam at Talking Digital. You can follow me at HelpMeRick. And we'll be back again next month. Make sure you support the fun drive next week here at KFM, 88.1 Grand Junction. And have a great week and a great weekend.
This one is called, just this tune we're going into, James Brown's March, just so you know.
Wow.